Hello, welcome to Gay Wallet, a queer personal finance podcast for those who are a little light in the loafers. It's been a long time. Light in the loafers is so funny to me. I just want to make that clear. I think light in the loafers is hilarious. Heard it this week, wrote it in my notes app immediately, and I said that has to be an intro for the podcast. So anyway, this is the podcast for them, those who are a little light in the loafers. And my name is Stephen Justice, and I am your host. And it's been a little while since we've really sat and talked. I am currently at my kitchen table, and I just have my podcasting stuff up here. I have the day off, and I thought today would be a good day to get an episode recorded, try to get it edited, and then get it out to you, because it's been a little bit. I think I haven't posted an episode since the beginning of 2024. And so, hi, a lot of stuff has happened in the past like month and a half. It's really been like a month and a half. And we're just going to talk about that a little bit. And in today's episode, we're going to be going over debt, my debt journey, what it's like to have a lot of debt, and my debt payoff journey, because I just hit a really exciting milestone. I just paid off a huge balance that I've been wanting to get paid off for a long time. And we're going to talk about how I got there. So without further ado, we're just going to get into the intro. So editing, Stephen, play the intro for me. Thank you. Welcome to Gay Wallet. My name is Stephen Justice, and today we're going to be just having a little bit of a chat, a little talking sesh about the past couple weeks, about why I haven't posted an episode in about a month and a half, and we're just going to talk a little bit about debt, debt repayment, and the best ways to pay off your debt if you are. I'm recording this in my living room slash kitchen, so if you hear cats running around, that's because they are running around. I'm looking at my cats right now, and they're staring at the window at our bird feeder. And one of my cats, Effie, she like doesn't really recognize that there's a window there. So like she'll be at the window and she'll be watching the birds, and then she'll fully with her paw, like clenched up in a fist, she'll punch the window, like, like fully will punch the window, 'cause she's like, she wants it so bad. The past month and a half has been an absolute roller coaster. And so this is less of a list of excuses, but I wanted to kind of tell you all where I've been and why we haven't got a new episode out. Frankly, because I've been going through a lot. So we started the year of 2024 off with a bang. So I started the 2024 year off almost breaking up with my partner. Me and him almost broke up. Not going to go into details about it. It's not really that like juicy anyway. It's really just like a whole, one of those conversations you have with a partner about planning and like what you want to do with your life. And then I traveled for like a week and a half, and then he traveled for like a week, and then I got sick, because every single time I seem to travel, I get sick for some reason. And then right as I was getting done getting sick at the end of January, me and my partner actually did break up. And so we broke up for like a week. It wasn't anything crazy, but you know, it was a really tough week and I was a mess. And the last thing I wanted to do was think about a podcast, recording, editing, marketing. That was the last thing I wanted to do, especially in the throes of heartbreak. And if you do follow me on Instagram, you will know that we ended up getting back together. It wasn't one of those situations where it's like, he cheated on me or I hate him. It was one of those like, how are we going to make this work? How are we going to figure out our futures? And it was one of those situations that we just had to really sit down and talk about it. And one of us pulled the trigger before the other did. And because of that, we ended up breaking up for like a week. And that was a really long, tough week. And now it's the, what's the date today? It is the 19th of February as of recording. And so we are almost 2 months into 2024 and we have not recorded another podcast episode. So I'm finally at a place where I'm not busy with work. I'm not getting broken up with. Things are not like absolutely falling to pieces around me. And I actually have the time to record an episode. So here we are. Today, I kind of wanted just to talk through my debt journey and my debt experience, because I've had debt and, you know, I've talked about this on previous episodes where I've talked about how I'm in debt as a 26-year-old in many ways. But I kind of wanted to break down all those debts and kind of talk through how I got into those debts, because it might help some people understand how one gets into debt and how easy it can be. And we're just kind of go through like my net worth, where I'm at in my debt payoff journey, and how I plan to get out of it. And I have some exciting updates because I'm about to pay off a really big balance that I've been procrastinating for years. And I just really kind of just want to share it with people, honestly, at the end of the day. Some updates about my life. I will be living in Atlanta for the next 2 years, roughly. Me and my partner, we're gonna be doing long distance for the next year. He moves to Chicago this summer. And then he'll be in Chicago for like a year, year and a couple months. And then we'll move in together once he moves back to Atlanta. So that'll be fun. That'll be a fun, fun year of, you know, doing long distance. And I say that sarcastically. I am not looking forward to that year of long distance, but it's okay. But I won't be moving to Chicago. I've talked about it on previous episodes, but I will be staying in the Southeast. So if you ever see me, at Tens or Blake's or MJQ, just let me know, scream gay wallet, and I will probably turn around because I don't know anyone else that would respond to the term gay wallet, at least in Atlanta. I was going to make a whole episode on how breakups are bad for your budget. And then I decided to, you know, just kind of scrap that whole idea. But there were a couple takeaways I wanted to talk about before we get into our main topic for today. So breakups are like physical pain. Like they hurt so bad. I cannot imagine trying to like do a no spend month or no spend, you know, quarter or whatever while going through heartbreak. The very first thing I did when I got broken up with is I got takeout. Because I could not bear to get in the kitchen and start prepping a meal after getting my heart broken. That was absolutely inconceivable to me. So I want to just set the expectation that when traumatic stuff happens in your life, whether it be a death or you lose your job or you crash your car or you lose a pet or you lose a partner or whatever, it is very normal. And it's honestly, I think, healthy to put your budget to the wayside, at least temporarily, to let yourself cope in a healthy manner. I'm not meaning like go buy yourself a Tiffany necklace. That's not what I mean. But like allow yourself to order takeout that night. Allow yourself to get yourself a nice coffee the next day. Get yourself a sweet treat from like the Whole Foods cookie bar. You know, just like get yourself something nice. Buy yourself some flowers. At the end of the day, you're not gonna be able to bring your money with you to the grave. So while you're having an awful time right now, treat yourself to something, you know, between like $20 to $50 or something. I don't know. It really is up to you, but don't deny yourself the simplest of pleasures to make yourself feel whole again. This isn't the time to be logical. It's the time to feel the pain and work through it. So my net worth. So what is my net worth? If you don't know what net worth is, it's essentially a collection of all the things you own and subtracting out all of the things that you owe to others to give yourself a dollar amount. So if you've ever had an accounting class, it's basically your assets minus your liabilities, plus whatever, you know, stocks or investments you have. And then when you add all those together, that will give you your net worth. And so just to be candid, I'm 26. I wouldn't consider myself a genius with money, but I've learned to be good with money through trial and error because I have screwed it up before in the past. And so when I'm telling you these numbers, I am coming at it from a perspective of this is just the hand that I was dealt. I went to college. I had to get a car. I made some weird decisions at 23 or 24 that at 26 now I'm paying for. So just keep that in mind. And also your net worth is not a reflection of your value as a person, even though it kind of literally is a reflection of your value. Like if you have a low net worth, because mine's going to be negative, just to clarify, mine's negative. So if you have a negative net worth, it does not mean you're not worthy or valuable as a person. It's just a starting point, a number to give you context to how you stand financially. Let's just cut to the chase. My net worth as your host for Gay Wallet, I have a whole personal finance podcast and I'm out here talking to you about personal finance. My net worth is approximately negative 55,000. Yeah. So that's a lot. That's not the best, but let me kind of like run you through where that's at. And these numbers are not going to add up necessarily because I'm doing this all in my head because I've run these numbers before. They might not add up down to like the 100th dollar, but this is generally where my net worth stands. So my net worth is about negative $55,000. And that is because I have something called student loans. I have student loans, and I went to a small mountain college in North Carolina called Appalachian State. And that college wasn't super expensive in my experience. But I went to a community college. I actually went to an early college. So I went to high school and got my associate's degree alongside my high school diploma. And so that saved me 2 years of college. And then I got to college. I dicked around for a year in a major that I eventually would not earn. I went to college to be a fashion and French major because I really wanted to be like, I don't even know what I wanted to be like. I wanted to work in the fashion industry, but then I got into like my first fashion courses and realized I didn't like any of these bitches. And I mean bitches generally, not specifically towards women, just, you know, generally towards all the students in the fashion program. I just realized I wasn't a fashion person. I felt like they were very shallow, very conceited, very status obsessed. And this did not vibe for me. So I spent about a year pursuing French and fashion. And I just switched to economics because I realized I just wanted to get a business degree. And I thought econ was cool. I liked history. And I liked being challenged a little bit. So I got my econ degree. And that left me with approximately $25,000 in student loans. I did have a couple scholarships. I did have a couple grants. I was in one of those situations where I grew up not necessarily like dirt poor, but my family were not well off at all. My dad was making roughly $50,000 to $60,000 a year, and my mom was not working. And so it was one of those situations where I looked good on paper, but then my family had a lot of debts and taxes to pay. And so we never really saw that money. And so I had to take out a lot of student loans to make that work and make that happen. Fun story. In my senior year of college, I wanted to completely scrap my major. I wanted to completely scrap my degree and start over. I wanted to get a sustainable development degree. And I'm so, so, so grateful I did not just completely scrap the entire econ degree. I truly wanted to just quit in like the last semester. We were experiencing COVID in 2020, and I wanted to quit my degree and go switch to another one and go like another $20,000 in debt. And I'm so grateful I did not do that, because that would have been a dumb idea. Anyway, so about $25,000 of that negative $50,000 is from my degree. And I posted a TikTok recently. If you follow me on TikTok, it's Deep Fried Choice Savant on TikTok. I posted a TikTok recently about why I think college is worth it. I think college is a net positive. It might not always make the most sense. You might have to take classes you don't necessarily want to take. I think it is a valuable pursuit for people who truly want to go to college and that are interested in it. Of course, you know, the internet ran with that, and there were people in my comments being like, what if I can't afford to go to college? You don't have to go to college to be successful. Da 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 da. I'd go to college if it didn't cost me $20,000. And while I understand where they were coming from, that was not necessarily the point I was making. Like, I understood it was expensive. I mean, I went into debt for $25,000. And though it was expensive to go, I will say I think me going into debt for that degree was a net positive, because I make so much more now at 26 than I think I would have if I would have just gone straight from high school to the workforce. And so, long story short, I think my student loans, despite them being half of the reason why I am negative $50,000 in debt, I think it was worth it at the end of the day. I think I made a good investment in my future, and I am leveraging that student debt now to increase my income in the future. And so I feel like it wasn't a waste, at least for me. I do want to quickly call out, because someone asked me on TikTok about this. They wanted to know what's the difference between good debt and bad debt, because they had heard it somewhere like on a TikTok or something. I wanted to explain what that is. So bad debt is what you would consider like credit card debt or a car debt or something like really high interest rate, or it's debt that is on an asset that depreciates really quickly, like a car. You know that whole thing, a car depreciates a third of its value when you drive it off the lot. Yeah, a car is not considered good debt, quote unquote, because the majority of the time, it's not really being leveraged to make your life better. A lot of the time, it's just going to make you poorer over time, especially if you're not paying the balance off every single month and accruing interest. That is what we would consider bad debt. Now, this commenter wanted to know about good debt. good debt, there's very few of them, I will admit, but good debt is something that is essentially investing in your life now, even if you're borrowing from the future, in order to increase your income in the future or increase your standing in the future. And so I was explaining to them that student loans, you know, it's controversial, but I believe student loans are a form of good debt. Student loans, yes, if you go get $50,000 in student debt and you go for like a theater degree, and I'm not like shitting on theater people. I'm not. It is just very well documented that theater degrees do not pay well, like out of college. They do not have a really high return on investment. So if you're going to get $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 in student debt for a degree that is not going to make that money back, maybe that's not a good investment. Maybe it is, depending on how much you value theater and depending what you want to do in theater. Who knows? You might want to be a theater professor. You might want to be a theater writer. You might want to be a theater producer. I don't know. But on the other hand, you could go to college like I did, and I went $25,000 into debt, and I got a degree in economics. And not to say that economics is a degree that you should be going to school for. I do not use my degree in any fulfilling way in my current job. I work in tech sales now, but I don't use my econ degree, like the knowledge I got from it, but I do use the soft skills that I got from that degree. So like problem solving, writing, critical thinking, basic statistics and math. For the price that I paid at school, I feel like my degree was worth the debt that I went into it for. A lot of people kind of just see the number and they go, well, that's not worth it. At least I'm not going $20,000 into debt. Yeah, you're not. But my income right out of high school would not have been what it was when I got out of college, nowhere near. And I don't really feel like I would have been able to progress as quickly as I did in my career if I didn't have the experience I did working where I did in college, because I worked, you know, a handful of part-time jobs, and I did a thesis and I got awards and I got like top economics student at my college. If I didn't have any of that, I don't think I would have been equipped with the skills and the knowledge to advance as quickly as I did. So that's why I consider student loans in certain circumstances to be good debts. Another form of good debt is a mortgage. So a mortgage, getting a house, buying property, that is considered good debt because generally it's a low interest rate. So are student loans, usually depending on the servicers. But a mortgage is also a good form of debt because that property, that house, usually over time has appreciated. So it has gotten more valuable over time. You go into debt, sure, a lot of money into debt now, but the asset that you are buying is increasing in value. So even as you're paying off the mortgage over the course of 15, 30 years, that asset is appreciating at the same time. So that gap is growing smaller and smaller between like what you owe on it and how much that asset is worth, making you net richer over time. Now, I don't try to like talk to people about personal finance because I want them to get rich. That's not really my goal. I just want people to be smart with their money and feel comfortable. I am by no means rich, and I have by no means wanting to be rich in the future. I just want to be comfortable enough that I can take a couple trips throughout the year, not worry about whether or not I'm going to make rent this month. I want to be able to pay for my pets, vet needs. And then outside of that, it's all pretty adjustable. It's all pretty variable. I can have it, I could not have it. It's kind of a wash for me, you know? So going back to the whole net worth thing, so about $25,000 of my net worth is student loans. And so you're wondering, well, what about the other $25,000? Like roughly, what is that about? Well, my second largest loan is one that I'm not super proud of. The only reason I'm talking about it now is because this is one of the biggest culprits for people draining their budget, especially young people in the United States. And it is a car loan. So a couple years ago, I had a Chevy Malibu, a 2012 Chevy Malibu. I've had really bad luck with cars. My cars have traditionally, even though I've taken care of them, even though I've done all the work I need to do to make sure that they run well. They have always broken down on me, and they've always just for some reason died out of nowhere. I have gotten multiple mechanics to look at my cars, and they tell me there's nothing really you could have done. It was like a freak accident, or it was like a freak issue with the engine, and it was going to cost me like more than the car was worth to, you know, fix these cars. And so about 2 years ago, I was driving my Chevy Malibu back home from Wilmington to Atlanta, and about an hour out, it just absolutely stops running. Like, I press my foot on the accelerator and it stops running. And I don't know what to do. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what's happening? And then I get my friend to come out there and meet me. And then I get it towed back to Wilmington. And then I get it taken looked at, and they tell me nothing's wrong with it. And I'm like, I got to get rid of this car. I got to get me something reliable. And I had a friend who worked at the dealership, and they got me a relatively good deal for a car that, you know, it ran, but it didn't run reliably. And long story short, I bought a 2018 Chevy Cruze hatchback. It is absolutely adorable, by the way. I love my Chevy Cruze hatchback. I love my car. This is the only thing I will say, though I owe a lot on it, I love my car. I originally got my car, the sticker price was about $24,000. I really never bought a car for more than like $8,000. And that was my Chevy Malibu that I really, really hated. And so I got a Chevy Cruze at the end of the day after registration and fees. And, you know, I got gap insurance and like a warranty and all this stuff. It came to about $28,000. And so I know I'm not following the 23-8 rule. I know it's a lot. My car payment is around, it was at the time $470. Now it's about $447 a month. And I did extend it out to the full like 6 years. And my interest rate was a lot higher. It was like 8% when I originally, and then I refinanced it like a year ago. Not even, like 6 months ago. And I got it down to like 6%, which is a lot better. But I put no money down because I was broke at the time. I mean, I had no money. I was scared that I wasn't going to be able to get back to Atlanta, let alone get a car. In hindsight, I probably should have just traded in my car at the dealership for whatever I could have gotten, flown back to Atlanta, and then just lived car free for as long as I could have until I found something affordable. But I had a friend who worked at the dealership. I really liked the car. I felt like I was not being screwed over because I had a friend who worked at the dealership, and I bought the car. And so I currently now, as of today, still have $22,000 left on the car loan. I still pay $447 a month. I pay about $170 in insurance, and it's probably the biggest drain on my budget is my car, because that's about $600 a month, and then you include gas, that's about $650 or so a month or something, all so I can just navigate the city of Atlanta. And mind you, I work remotely. I don't need to have a really nice, reliable car, but the reason I got a car like this new and this nice, is because I drive from Atlanta to Wilmington frequently. I drive at least 3 or 4 times a year. That's a 6-hour drive. I have multiple times driven from Atlanta to Wilmington in my Chevy Malibu, and it broke down on me. Either a tire blew, or my engine failed, or that one time that the accelerator just stopped accelerating and it wouldn't start back up. There were multiple instances where I just felt like I was in an unsafe, unreliable vehicle, and I wanted to have something that was reliable enough for me to go see family if I needed to. And so that's the second largest, and it's probably the debt that I am the not necessarily ashamed of, but I wish I could get rid of quickly. It's just such a drain on my finances. If I could save $600 a month, if I lived in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, yes, the housing would be more expensive, but I wouldn't be spending near $700 a month on having a living room on wheels to go get groceries. I don't know. I would love to live somewhere walkable, but Atlanta is notoriously not very walkable. But I know I'm going to have my car for the next 2 years because I'm going to live in Atlanta at least another 2 years. And then by then, hopefully I can either trade it in or sell it for something either cheaper, or I move somewhere that is a little bit more walkable where I wouldn't need a car. And then I can pocket that $600 a month instead of having to pay it towards my living room on wheels. It's a nice living room on wheels. I'll admit, I love my car. Her name's Liza. But it does drive me a little crazy to know that it's like required to like live in the city, you know? Now that we're done talking about the car, you know, that maybe brings us up to about $40,000. Let's talk a little bit about my credit cards. So I used to have an issue with credit cards. I've never really been that big of a spender. Like, I'm really not someone who takes a lot of pride in owning like super high quality, super expensive stuff. I'm, you know, not flashy in that way. But I will say, pretty early on after college, I got a credit card. I wanted to use it for the points, and I wanted to use it for like, you know, the budgeting purposes, because it was really easy just to know how much you spent over the course of a month. I ended up getting myself into some trouble. It wasn't really trouble that I could help. I'll admit, it wasn't really because like I was spending a ridiculous amount of money on myself, but I got my first job out of college when I was like 22, 23 or so, at my current company where I work. And I went to go get cleaning, and they told me I had to get a filling because I had a cavity. And I was like, okay, sounds good. And then I basically went and got the filling taken care of. My face was all numb. And they were like, okay, well, you owe $1,280 or something like that. And I'm like drooling. And my company advertised, you know, and they told us that they covered 100% of our medical. And I was like confused, and I was trying to use like this card they gave me. And turns out for fillings and crowns and stuff, it was like they covered 20%, but you really had to like, you know, pay the other 80%. And because of that, I had to put that on a credit card at like 23. And that was the beginning of my issues. Basically for the next like 3 years after that, I struggled to find my footing, to like build a savings. I struggled to save money, to pay off my credit cards at the end of every month. I practically paid off my credit card in full every single month. Aside from like 1 or 2 months where I had like $100 or $200 left over on it. And that maybe accrued like $10 of interest or something. I will say I was really good about that, but I then turned to some tools that were not the best to pay off my credit cards. I did pursue a balance transfer on some credit cards just to go ahead and get them consolidated at a 0% interest, because I was getting stressed out because I was scared of interest. I was scared of accruing interest. And so I consolidated all my debt onto a balance transfer for like a 24-month at 0% promotional rate. So basically, I wouldn't have to pay any interest on that debt for a long time. I said, okay, perfect. That was like 2 years ago or a year and a half ago. And I was like, perfect. I'll use this time to pay off this debt and I'll be Gucci. Well, what do you know? When your credit card balance is at zero, all you want to do is spend more on it. And so I got myself right back into the same position, you know, running up huge balances on my credit card. And I didn't touch that balance transfer. That was about $3,500. I didn't touch it for like a year and a half. Like, I maybe did my minimum payments. I would pay like $30 a month towards it, but I didn't touch it otherwise at all. And so I then decided to take a 401k loan out on my 401k because I'd been contributing to my 401k this whole time. And then that added another layer onto it, because your 401k isn't supposed to be used like that. It's supposed to be in the market, making your money work for you. And instead, I was taking it out on a loan through my loan servicer to pay off my current credit card balance. And so within a couple months, I had like two 401k loans that maybe added up to about $4,000. And then I had another balance transfer for $3,500. So that had me at about $8,000, just shy. And I was still spending on my credit card because that's how I wanted to like use my points. And I still had balances on my credit card, obviously, because I wanted to take advantage of the points and I wanted the perks of having a credit card and da 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 da. It wasn't really until about a year and a half ago, I really was like, okay, we got to get our shit together. We have to start budgeting. We have to start being very conscious about our spending. We have to start making sacrifices where it's necessary. And I will say that mindset, I've always really had the mindset of like, I've always been organized. I've always been conscious about what's good for me. I've always tried to eat well and exercise and be financially responsible. But this was the first moment of like, holy shit, I've dug myself into a hole and I need to get myself out of it because no one else is going to come to me with $10,000 to get me out of this hole. I completely forgot about this too. I had a care credit card for my cats. I just put it on a care credit card. You can finance it for like 6 months and at 0%. And that's just so I can pay for my cat's vet bills easily and quickly. And I have some time to break it up if I need to. And on top of that, I had a Rooms to Go card for my moving expenses for Atlanta. Long story short, my roommate paid for all of us to move, me and her, to Atlanta. And then I bought all the furniture for the living room. So I kind of paid her back through that. And so I've been paying that off over the past couple years, like year and a half. And so when you really looked at how much debt I had like $55,000 in debt between a car loan, a balance transfer, 401k loans, student loans, and then just regular credit card debt. I was around $55,000 in just debt. Like that is just so sickening to me. And so about a year and a half ago, I made the decision to pick myself up by my bootstraps. And I hate to say that, but I just had to make some sacrifices. I really had to figure out what order I was going to do this in, how I was going to do it, what my strategy was. And I'm going to get into my strategy in a couple minutes after the transition music. So how did I pay down my debt? I want to make it very clear. I have not paid down all my debt by any stretch of the imagination. I am still in debt. A lot of these debts are still out there, but it has improved significantly over the past couple, 6 to 8 months. Honestly, a big motivator was me and my partner getting together about a year and a half ago, because he made me want to be better. And he made me realize that if I wanted to pursue this relationship in the future, I needed to be in a good financial position to go into the relationship long term. And he was a big motivator. He was really understanding. He got it. He understood. He wasn't in debt in the same way that I was, but he didn't know a lot about money, but he was in a much better financial position than I was at the time. And so I wanted to meet him there. So that was kind of like a motivational thing for me. And so my strategy kind of started with Dave Ramsey. And I have a lot of mixed feelings about Dave Ramsey. I am not going to detail them completely all here. You can do your own research, but I don't really like Dave Ramsey approach about like you shouldn't see a restaurant unless you're working in it for the next 2 years or something. You don't deserve to go on a vacation or to go anywhere unless you are 100% debt free aside from your mortgage. I just don't subscribe to that mindset, because at the end of the day, we only know that we are here at least once. For all we know, this could be absolutely it. This could be it. And you can't take your money with you when you die. You just can't. And I don't believe in spending some of the most mobile years of your life absolutely in the trenches, hating your life because you're trying to pay off debt. And if going out to eat with your friends for $15, like once or twice a week, is going to make you feel better, I don't see an issue with that. But some people who are on Dave Ramsey's camp do. There is a pretty infamous clip of one of Dave Ramsey's employees. I like her. I'm not going to name her by name because I actually respect her a lot, but she's a spokesperson for the Dave Ramsey show, and they do a radio show. And this woman called in about her family, and her husband works like full-time, making like $30,000 or $40,000 a year. She doesn't work. They have two kids. And she was asking if they should get on WIC. And if you don't know what WIC is, it's like basically food stamps or like nutritional assistance for families that are low income. And she asked if she should go on WIC because she had two kids. And the show basically told her, the host did, that basically she needs to get a job. She needs to find a way to get a job, or her husband needs to get a second job to make this work instead of going on WIC. I don't know where this suffering Olympics comes from, this mentality that you just need to suffer as much as you possibly can because that makes you more virtuous for some reason. I think it comes from probably a conservative mindset of welfare and social programs are just bad all the time, even if you've paid into them up until now, taking advantage of those social programs is for some reason naughty or dirty. But I don't really suggest going by the Dave Ramsey method, but I did like to use some of Dave Ramsey's steps and his like financial baby steps to get me out of debt. And that's what I've been using. A combination of that and another program called The Money Guy Show. The Money Guy Show are a lot more, in my opinion, normal and balanced and less radical than Dave Ramsey is. Essentially, they're a lot more focused on retirement and investing in your future rather than Dave Ramsey, who is more focused on being absolutely 0% debt-free. He doesn't believe in credit cards. He doesn't believe in car loans. He doesn't believe in anything that isn't cash. And so I kind of took both of those strategies and I kind of morphed them into my own. So what was my first step on my debt repayment journey? The first step for me, the way my lifestyle and the way my life works and the way my like healthcare works with my job and everything. I don't commute. I work from home. My company pays for all of my healthcare, like 100%. Like the only thing I got to pay is like a copay occasionally. That's like $50, but I'm very blessed in that aspect. I have two cats, but I live in an apartment and I have a pretty good 401k. I've got like about 16,000 saved in my 401k. At 26, I feel like that's pretty good. And so I felt like I was in a good enough position where I could forego having an emergency fund for right now, for the short term, in order to get this stuff paid down as quickly as possible. And specifically, I was more concerned about the credit card, very high interest debt first, before I started getting into, you know, my car loan and my student loans. Anything below around 7 or 8% is considered low interest debt and usually is not prioritized for repayment as much as things that are above 7 to 8% interest. So that would be something like my credit cards, which are about 22 to 26%. And that's the standard interest rate for most credit cards, is around the 20 to 30% range. And I wanted to get those paid off as soon as possible. And I wanted to get more of my paycheck going to me and going to my emergency fund every month instead of going towards debt payments every month. And so my first goal was to save $1,000 as a baby emergency fund. And given as I rent, I don't have to pay for like a window if it breaks, or I don't have to pay for the heater or the oven if it breaks, or pay for a light bulb if it goes out. Luckily, because I rent, I don't have to worry about those things. And so I wasn't concerned about building a huge emergency fund for that. My car, despite how much debt I went into it, does have a bumper to bumper warranty on it and does have a bunch of other perks that I can take it into the shop and I get like free oil changes and things like that. So I didn't feel like I needed to save a ridiculous amount of money on my car in my emergency fund. So I really was in a situation where I could afford to have a relatively small emergency fund for the short term to pay off this credit card debt. So I just saved $1,000, put it in a high yield savings account. And then anything over $1,000, I just threw towards debt. I just, every time it came into my bank account, every time I got some money, every time I got a paycheck, I just took $1,000, set it into my savings account, and then all the rest of that money I would allocate towards a debt or towards my regular, you know, fixed expenses like rent, utilities, things like that. After I got the $1,000 emergency fund, I just started aggressively throwing money towards the balance transfer. So the way balance transfers work, to my knowledge, specifically how this balance transfer worked, was I transferred $3,500 in credit card debt like a year and a half ago towards this Citi balance transfer card. And it was 0% for 24 months. And then after that, it's like 20 to 30%. But the issue is it's not 20 to 30% on what you have at the time of the promotion ending. It's 20 to 30% on the total amount that you started with. So if I didn't get this thing paid off by the end of the 24 months, I would be sacked with like around $900 roughly, of interest. So my first priority was getting that balance transfer paid down as soon as possible. And so, over the course of a couple months, I threw every single dollar I could that came in from the side or came in from my paycheck that I could towards that debt. And I'm very proud to say, since I want to say November, October of 2023, that balance has came from $3,500 to today, it's at $600. Like, I am so proud of that difference. It is insane. I will say I did allocate a significant portion of my commission check that I get every quarter from my job. I work in tech sales, and so I do get a commission check. I used all of my commission check to go towards that, and I do get paid from TikTok occasionally. I do get paid every month, whatever amount that TikTok decides to pay me, you know, according to the TikTok algorithm gods. And I did happen to have a couple viral TikToks that blew up in December and January. And so that helped me pay off that balance even quicker. And I'm really proud of that. If you don't know me from TikTok, I really just post to be silly and fun, but I've been posting for like 3 years. And so it's kind of exciting to see a viral TikTok of mine bring in like roughly $1,000, you know, $1,400. I just had two TikToks that blew up this past month, and that's bringing in the $600 that I need to pay off my balance transfer. That's being paid completely by my TikTok account. So I'm really grateful for that. I'm really excited about that. Thank you if you watch my TikToks. I appreciate you. But it's a really great way just to earn some sort of passive income on the side, especially given as I've been doing it for so long and just playing around with it, you know? Okay, so my balance transfer, we're doing good. What about my smaller credit card balances? Well, I am proud to admit that my smaller credit card balances, you know, just my regular consumer spending, they have been consistently at $0 at the end of every month. And that's just a habit I've had for myself whenever I budget, along with my rent and my utilities and my student loan payment, my credit card payment, whatever the statement balance says, I always make a effort to pay that off in full. And luckily, I haven't really missed one of those periods. Yeah, sure, I might be broke at the end of the month because I had to pay off the entirety of my credit card balance, but it's what I needed to do. I'd rather be broke for the entire month and not have any money like to be silly with. I'd rather have that be the case and be a little broke for the month than accrue interest. I'm just one of those people that hates interest. So I try not to do that as much as I possibly can. My student loans, I have been paying them for the past couple months. They just started back up for me. I've made only about 4 payments, but they're about $280 each. It really hurts, but I just enrolled in the Save plan, by the way. If you are not enrolled in the Save plan, seriously, take a look into it. Essentially, if you enroll in the Save plan, from what I understand, you will not see your balance grow as long as you make the minimum payments on your balances. And so what that means is that, let's say you can only pay $100 that month towards your student loans, but the interest on your student loans accrues like $200. The government will pay the other $100, so your balance does not grow. Now, obviously, sure, it doesn't shrink either, but it does prevent your balance from just growing and spiraling out of control, because that's how student loans are. They are exponential. The higher they are, the quicker they grow, and then the quicker they grow, the higher they get, and then it's just a cycle. So if you can enroll in the Save plan, definitely take a look. I've only been enrolled for like 2 months, and I haven't really noticed a difference, but just take a look into it if you can. I think it might be helpful to some of you. Checking into my car loan. My car loan has not changed significantly. I mean, it went from $28,000 to $22,000. So it's sitting at $22,000 right now. I have not missed a payment. I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful that I haven't missed a payment. But it's one of those situations where I want to get it down to the actual value that I can trade it in for. And then I just want to buy a different car, you know, maybe get a cheaper one or just pay it down until, you know, I'm not underwater on it anymore. And then sell it when I move to a new city. I think that'll be really cool. That's something I'm looking forward to. But again, it's one of those situations where I live in Atlanta, Georgia. I need to have a reliable car. I travel home a lot and I drive. So the last thing I want to do is have an unreliable car in a city that requires one. And then lastly, there is my 401k loan. My 401k loan, I basically have had a really toxic relationship with my 401k and my 401k loan because I do contribute the full amount that my company matches. So I contribute 6% and my company matches 100% of that 6%. So they basically double my money, which is really cool. But I've had a bad habit of withdrawing my money through loans on my 401k. If you're not familiar, you can take out 401k loans instead of withdrawing from your 401k. And basically what that does is it allows you to get access to the money in your 401k without paying taxes and without paying those penalty fees that you get for withdrawing early. All they do is they charge you like a small fee, and then they do charge you interest, but your interest does go straight back into your 401k account. So you're kind of paying yourself interest. It is better in like a roundabout way to take out a 401k loan than like, you know, take out a private loan or like a line of credit. But I have unintentionally used my 401k loan kind of as an emergency fund over the past couple of years. And I don't need to do that. And so right now I have a $2,600 401k loan out. It's for 12 months. They are going to take about $270 out of my paycheck every month. That's just the way that it's set up. That's one of those loans that you can't really pay on the loan unless it's through your paycheck or if you have the full amount of the loan already available. So I can't just throw $20 towards it. I have to throw the entire amount or none. Or just let my paycheck slowly pay for it over time. And so I want to say over the course of maybe the past 2 years, I've went from a balance of about $55,000 in debt, and through a combination of contributing to my 401k, which increases your net worth, and paying down debt, I've probably gone down to like negative $45,000 in debt, which is actually very good. I'm pretty happy about that. I will say I don't have a huge urge to pay off my student loans anytime soon because you never know what could happen. I do foresee there being some sort of forgiveness at some point in the future, but you know, I cannot hold out hope that Joe Biden of all people is going to do the right thing. But I will say I'm more concerned about getting some of these higher interest loans and debts taken care of first before I start, you know, really tackling my car or my student loans. And I know it's only a $10,000 difference, but for someone like me who grew up, you know, with family that were constantly in debt or struggled with money consistently, I'm really proud of that journey. So now that my balance transfer next month is going to be paid off completely, that means that I will have more money to work with every single month. So I won't have that minimum payment to take care of. I can start putting the money that I was paying towards the balance transfer. I can start putting it towards other places. So I can start putting it towards my 401k loan. I can start saving that. I can start building my emergency fund. And then once I get 3 to 6 months of emergency savings saved up, I want to start paying down my car loan as quickly as possible. A little life hack with your car loan. If you're making your regular car payment every month, keep doing that, obviously. But if you do have a little bit extra money to throw towards it that you want to just pay down quicker, a lot of the time, most banks or credit unions allow you to pay towards a loan using something called a principal-only payment. And what that does is it allows you, after you've paid your regular payment, you are allowed to make an extra payment that goes straight to the principal and not to the interest. And that's really useful because the less principal you have, the less interest you're going to accrue and the quicker you're going to pay off that loan over time. And once I get the balance transfer and the 401k loan out of the way, and I get my little emergency fund saved up, I'm going to start throwing that money towards that car loan because I want to get this car paid off. I want to get that $470, $440. I want to get that money back in my paycheck every month in my budget so I don't have to just see it go to some random bank every single month. That would be really great for my budget. So that's kind of my goal of 2024 is to get to that point where I can reliably start paying off that car loan again. And then student loans are probably going to be my last rung. I probably won't care to pay off my student loans anytime soon. I'll pay towards them. I'll pay the recommended amount. But I'm not going to pay anything extra, at least right now, because the interest rate on my loans are around 3 to 6%. And the average rate of return for the stock market is around 7 to 8, I want to say, in some sort of investment account. So I'd rather just put my money in an IRA, or my 401k or something than throw it towards my debt, especially if my student debt is potentially going to get forgiven to some degree in the future. I don't know if it will, but that has been my game plan for the past couple months, and it has actually worked really well. Depending on your situation, the $1,000 baby emergency fund may be too little. It might be too much, depending on your living situation, but that's how I've done it the past couple months. So over the course of the past like 4 or 5 months, I've maybe paid down $10,000 in debt between my commission checks, my TikTok money, and just my regular paychecks. I've easily paid down around $10,000. And at the same time, my 401k has been contributed to consistently between me and my employer. And so that net worth is getting bigger and bigger and bigger over time. And this is not to brag, by the way, at all, because literally I'm still negative $40,000 in debt. But I want to make it clear that you can still live a very vibrant, full, exciting life while you're in debt and while you're in debt repayment. I don't think you need to be miserable the entire time you're in debt repayment. I think you do need to have a nice balance that allows you to be a human being while also making progress towards your goals over time. And I will say, I do have my balance transfer being taken care of, you know, by the middle of March. And so in celebration of that, I do think it is a good idea to set a tangible goal and then a tangible reward for yourself once you've paid off a significant amount of debt. This $3,500 in my balance transfer has been sitting over my head like a cloud for the past like year and a half. And so I told myself, if I can pay off this $3,500, I will allow myself the purchase of a very expensive fragrance that I've been wanting for a long time, a Le Labo cologne perfume, whatever you want to call it, Eau de Parfum. I've been dying to get Santal 33 from Le Labo, and I recently made the celebratory purchase of it, and I'm so excited. I love it. It smells incredible. It feels so good to reward yourself tangibly with something like not a Tiffany necklace or anything, but something relatively nice, something relatively expensive that you can say, damn, this is a product of my achievement. And so I'm really proud of myself for that. And so if you can, on your debt journey, have some sort of expensive, not like a vacation, not like a $2,000-$3,000 vacation, but like something around $100-$200 to reward yourself with for making the thousands of dollars of debt payments worth it. It really helped me get there. It really motivated me because I knew the earlier I did it, the quicker it would happen. You think that would work for you, then please do it, because I'm doing it right now and I really enjoy it and I'm really excited about it. So that's just my two cents. So what did we take away from this episode? So first and foremost, going all the way back to the beginning of the episode, don't let a breakup break you. It might break your budget, but don't let a breakup break you. This is just tangential, but a breakup is temporary. You will be heartbroken. You will feel physical pain. You might not be okay for months, but eventually you will be okay. And allow yourself to be a little bit more flexible with your budget during this period of literal grieving. You are actually grieving, so be kinder to yourself than you might normally be in these situations. If you are trying to pay down debt, just understand that you're not alone. I'm still paying down debt. A lot of us are all trying to pay down debt as quickly as we can. The earlier you can pay down debt, the better, and the more you can avoid unnecessary debt, the better. I personally don't think you should shy away from getting student loans as long as the investment is worth it, as long as you know that either you're going to get a good job after college, or if you're okay with the idea that you're not going to get a good job after college, but it's worth it to you, just make sure you understand the investment that you're making now is for you to earn more in the future. And so just make that decision after a lot of thought and a lot of calculating, and that decision is eventually yours. If you're trying to pay down debt, look at as many strategies as you possibly can and choose the one that is right for you. There is usually no strategy that is best for everyone. For instance, I like aspects of Dave Ramsey's strategy. I like aspects of the Money Guy strategy, but I don't follow either of them to a T because they aren't built around my life. My life is different than theirs. And so I take aspects from one, aspects from the other, make my own, and it has worked pretty well so far. I would highly suggest anyone who can to calculate their net worth. Calculating your net worth low-key sucks, especially when you're in your early 20s or your mid-20s. It's usually negative by a couple thousand dollars. But if you can do that, I think it's a really helpful exercise to help you understand where you are and where you're positioned for your age and where you are in life, and help you create a roadmap for how to get out of that situation if it's negative. If it's positive, congratulations. You're part of the 1%, I guess. And just know that debt repayment is really, really, really the long game. I've been trying to pay off debt for like a year and a half, and this is my first real win, paying off my balance transfer and getting all my credit cards to zero balances. It takes a long time because life happens. Cats get sick, you get sick, people lose their jobs, cars break down. So much stuff can happen that you're just going to have to recognize that it's not all going to go according to plan. It's going to take a long time, but there is a light at the end of the tunnel. And as someone who is nearing the light at the end of the tunnel, sort of, kind of, I can kind of see it if I squint a little bit. It really, really, really feels good to start paying off some of those bigger balances. And with that, that is the end of our episode. Today was a little bit of a special episode because I talked very candidly about my financial situation. And it's something that a lot of people don't like to talk about. And I have been very transparent about where I am financially and how I'm trying to recover. So if you have any questions or concerns, or if you want to share your own experience, don't be shy and either DM me on Instagram at gaywalletpodcast or on my personal Instagram. You can find it in the description. Or you can email us at gaywalletpodcast@gmail.com. And those are both in the show notes. We'll be taking some letters and opening them in future episodes. And I just want to thank you all for listening and understanding. My past month and a half was really tough and really rough and not that fun. But I look forward to making episodes like this in the future. I am going to try to do an episode every other week. I'm trying to stick to a bi-weekly schedule, but you know, like I said, life happens. My job specifically has started gearing up and getting crazier and crazier as the months go on. So I might be late on a couple episodes here and there, but we're going to try our best to get them out as quickly as we possibly can. But outside of that, I just want to thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time out of your day. And thank you for being so supportive. So thank you, Gay Wallet family. Outside of that, thank you and have a great rest of your week. And if you can, make that extra debt payment if you can. Whatever that is, it $20, $30 you have lying around. Yeah, go, if it's in cash, go drive it to the Chase branch and go pay off your credit card or something. That's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to go give them like $50 in cash to go pay off a credit card just because it's sitting around. But other than that, thank you guys. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.